Hello, welcome to another episode of Solo Powered with me, Ariana Dunn. This is a podcast that celebrates doing things solo, whether that be solo travel, solo business, solo journey to parenthood, single by choice, solo adventures, or solo pursuits of passion. Remember, this is not about living a lonely life. This is about living the most full life on your terms. Speaking of living life on your terms, I have a great guest. Susie Kilcoyne is the founder of an umbrella company called The Visionary Room, which, as I say, umbrella company, it's because she has seven businesses that I'm excited to hear all about. She launched her own cosmetics company when she was 21, and since then has gone on to become a coach, helping other women to launch their own successful solo businesses. She helps across a range of subject matters, including branding, social media, marketing, really anything that you might need in terms of getting your business off the ground, hence the word visionary room. So I'm really excited to hear from Susie and hear how she helps other solopreneurs and people starting out on their journey, as well as her own journey to date. So, Susie, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the
Thank you. I think I will take that intro for myself. Thank you so
podcast.
much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. So tell us, take us back. Tell us on about your journey. I know, and some of the things that I read, you sort of say you've been around the block, been, in every different up, down, inside out when it comes to business. So take us back to sort of, wherever you think your story begins, and kind of let us know how you started out on this journey.
Yeah, I guess, do you know what, I'm very lucky. I come, like, my dad was an entrepreneur, started his own business. He was a doctor and started a clinic and was very, very successful in his career. And so I've always been around it. My uncles were in business, so I've always seen it. And then obviously in school we had transition year, and I thrived in that TY company thing. So I always knew that there was something there. And honestly, I think it starts from back then. I kind of went the traditional route, go to college, just get any degree. I missed out on business by 10 points, and I was like, I am not going back to study. So I ended up doing business, or sorry, I ended up doing music and politics. Not very, like, very random. And then I actually
You
I
can
did.
sing in the doll, sing your
Yeah.
voice.
Okay, here we go. Or I can write a piece of classical music,
Wow.
So at that stage, like, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. All I knew was I loved working with people. So I ended up getting into Accenture, and I ended up doing executive assistant work, and ended up loving it. Sorry, that's my puppy. Ended up loving it and got heavily into events from that stage. And so it kind of just went from there.
Right.
But during my time there, I was studying to be a makeup artist. It's
Okay.
all I wanted to do. I told my dad, I really want to do this. He's like, no, you have to have a proper job, a proper salary. I was like, yeah, but it is a proper job. Like,
Yeah.
does you can make money in it. And but no, like, he was not having it. So he said, do it on the side. So I did it on the side, and I decided to start a cosmetics company. And to be honest, it was the OG Irish brand, because there was no cosmetics brand built in or created in Ireland, made in Ireland, nothing like that. So I was manufacturing all of it. I studied for a year. I wasn't a cosmetologist, so I was learning about ingredients and formulating and, testing on my brother's eczema skin. God love him. So it was so good.
Yeah.
People loved it.
And
So
what was the range? What was
it was actually mineral. Mineral's the easiest. So anyone wanting to start a cosmetics company, mineral is the easiest way to go. And so it's easy to build, it's easy to create and formulate. So that was kind of where I started formulating with those ingredients. Once I got to a stage, I said, you know what, I'm going to go on to Dragon's Den. So went on Dragon's Den, the Irish one now, mind you. But what an experience it was. And even though I didn't get the investment, the coverage that I got, all the PR, everything, it was incredible. So to anyone who's considering going on it, 100% do it. Doesn't matter if you don't get the funding. In fact, sometimes it can be better if you don't. So that really started it. But in all honesty, I was working both. I was doing the full-time job. I was doing that. Things were getting really busy. I had some of the top makeup artists in the country asking me to make their cosmetics brands and
Wow.
to build out. Now, naivety at the time, I was like, no, I'm just going to do my own and all that kind of thing. But in hindsight, if it was now, I'd be like, hell yeah, forget my own brand. I'm going to do everyone else's. So I went from there, but my dad got very sick and I burned out. I burned out. I felt like I couldn't string a sentence together for about 2 years. And that was a very, very hard lesson for me to learn. And probably a lot of it was learned in hindsight as well. That really started off. Once I closed that down, the feeling of failure was, to be honest, I still don't think I've gotten over it. I really don't. It was so hard. It was really, really hard. But look, we're here now and I'm here today and I kept going, but I felt like a huge failure and stopped. So I ended up just going into high level events, worked at the Web Summit for a while, which was very intense. And then just went on, did a lot of corporate events, conferencing and everything like that. And then I ended up, had two babies in the meantime, was in a toxic, verbal, abusive, financially abusive relationship. I'm only getting out of that now, in the next few weeks. And so it was just this huge thing that was happening around me. But in all of it, I found self-development. Now, when you hear that word, you kind of think, oh, God, self-development is so cringy. But honestly, it opened up my eyes to so much. So while I was on maternity leave, I had a brand and web design agency, which did really well. Didn't have my own website, was generating six figures just based off referrals, which was amazing. It was fantastic. So COVID was okay for us, you know, the kind of way it was there. But in the meantime, I just found my love for coaching. I just adored it. And it wasn't around life coaching or anything like that. It was just, I just loved helping people grow their businesses so that their lives became so much happier. Like they were just, you know, they saw this thing happening and then suddenly there was that trickle effect of everything felt good for them. Everything felt like it was working out. And so I kind of got the bug for it. And so that was 3.5 years ago now. That the Visionary Room was born.
Wow.
So it just started off as a kind of a business where I help people grow their businesses in a way. But it has stemmed into so much more. It really has. And so that's where the seven companies come from. And being in the industry, the online coaching industry is wild. I mean, I'm sure you know the same. It's a totally different ball game to having what I would call a regular coaching business or consultancy business. There is so much opportunity. So my goal was to literally go in and find every single opportunity I possibly could and build from there. And that's really what I've done. And it's been wild. It has been probably the hardest journey of my life.
Wow. My goodness. I mean, there's so many twists and tales to that story that has led you to today, which I mean, I can imagine can only stand to the what you bring to the table now in terms of helping other people on their own journeys. I'm just conscious of, you know, you talked about burnout, you talked about your dad getting sick. I mean, I also suffered burnout and that is why I went into the world of coaching. It was something that motivated me to become a coach because I wanted to help other people not to have to experience that. You mentioned things like not being able to string a sentence together, but for anyone who doesn't know or anyone who's listening about burnout or might be thinking there might be experiencing itself, like what for you, how did that manifest for you when you were experiencing that?
Honestly, I think it was anger. And like maybe anger is even the wrong word, but it was my temper. I had a very, very short temper because I was utterly exhausted.
Right.
I didn't have kids at the time, like, thank God, because God help them if I did. Yeah. But I was irritated. I didn't feel happy.
Right.
And like, you can go to the doctor and a lot of the time they would think, oh, maybe you're depressed or, you know, that kind of thing. But I was literally burnt out. Mm. I was burning the candle at both ends. And so besides the exhaustion, which a lot of people actually just brush over, they just think, oh, well, that's normal. You know, I'm working hard. I'm trying to grow a business and, you know, that's normal. But it's not normal at all. Mm. And it's actually detrimental to what our futures can be if we don't recognize it. Mm. So the irritability was definitely one of the big ones. And then insomnia, I just couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Which obviously did not help being irritable. But those two were probably the biggest signs. And then only looking back, I was miserable. Even though I had a company that was generating loads of coverage and like my dad saw me in the Irish Times and finally, you know, I have a good business, you know. But I was miserable. You know, I actually have not done makeup for anyone. I have not thought about makeup since I closed it.
Really?
And I really attribute that to the burnout.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that there's some post-traumatic stress there in terms of everything that I put myself through. But like my best friend would ask me to do her wedding makeup. And I was like, no.
Right.
If you're going to do makeup, you need to love it. You need like there, it's an art. Like you have to love it. And I
Yeah.
was like, no, I don't love it anymore.
And how do you think your friends and family might have been responding to you at that time? I mean, were they concerned about you, or were they sort of trying to get you to maybe do something different? Or how did you feel that people around you were supporting you during that time?
Honestly, I think they ended up putting it down to my personality.
Okay.
They perceived me as this person rather than trying to understand. Like my family wouldn't really have, thought, there's something wrong. Both my parents are doctors. My mom didn't even realize I had postnatal depression. So when you're that close, you don't see it. You don't. You have to have that outside opinion or at that outside view. And so they just perceived this to be my personality.
Right.
And in a way, that's really sad because if I'd gotten help, that may or seen what was happening, that could have changed everything. I could have kept going with business, maybe.
Yeah, it's interesting because I mean, when I was experiencing burnout, I mean, that anger that you talked about was definitely there. I had a housemate at the time, and I poor him because I used to come home from work every day and I would just be ranting, like, pouring myself a glass of wine, lighting a cigarette out into the balcony, and I would just be shouting at him while the poor guy was trying to watch his Coronation Street or something. And I was
Oh.
just, constantly just giving out about everything and everyone. But also like that absolutely lack of sleep, waking up at like 5 in the morning with just spreadsheets, 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 going through everything, all of the things that needed to be done that day, not getting home till really late at night. And I
Yes.
always talk about how I used to kind of drive to work every day, hoping that I could maybe crash the car so I could go to hospital for a few weeks, just to sort of not have to deal with everything on a day-to-day basis. And it wasn't like a serious accident, but just one that I would not have to be under that kind of pressure. And a lot of that pressure again, like that, like similar to you, was coming from myself. It wasn't really necessarily coming from my bosses or from outside sources. It was pressure I was putting on myself. But friends and family, for me, I mean, I remember one time a friend of mine asked me to meet her for lunch, and I was so distracted during the lunch, checking my phone, checking my emails, like on my, and she was, Ariana, like back in the room, like, come on, this is not healthy, like you need to take your hour lunch. Because I was like, I can only meet you for 20 minutes, like, it's gonna be really quick and la 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 la. So yeah, I think it's just interesting sometimes how friends and family maybe don't see the what's going on. And obviously you're so busy that you're not getting to see your friends and family
Like
very
not
much.
a lot of at the time, not a lot of people really knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
Like my friends would see me like in a newspaper or in a magazine or like I did a naked photo shoot for Stellar, like
Wow.
the CMD of Accenture bloody saw, and I was like, oh God.
Oh
But
my
like
God.
so I was that person that kept going.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I probably still am a version of that person where, I keep most of my stuff close to my chest. Whereas well, now I have an outlet in social media and I share my path and I'm not afraid to share it.
Yeah.
But it at the time, it was also one of those things that you don't talk about. Like
Yeah.
that was, I was 19, so I'm 39 now. What's that? Is that 20 years ago? Oh
Yeah.
my God. So that was 20 years ago. And like if someone talked about mental health, they thought you were going to like the mental hospital. So there's just, and even, Irish parents, oh, you'll be grand.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of that around it. So, but it was at that time actually that I started, I don't know if you've heard of him, Tom Bilyeu. I found Tom Bilyeu, and obviously Tony Robbins. And so I was able to kind of become more aware of myself in a way. Now it took time. It took me a while to realize what was happening. But again, I became hyper aware of my own feelings, my own emotions, what I wanted. And so I always felt a bit ahead of where my friends were at in a way, because you'd go on a date or something and you'd be like, absolutely not, no. And they're like, but would you not give it a chance? No, because it's absolutely going nowhere. And people wouldn't understand that. Or even like one of the things my ex throws at me, you have no friends. No, I have a group of solid, amazing friends. I don't have to be friends with everybody because if someone is going to do me wrong, if someone's going to repeatedly go against my values, like, why would I consider that person a friend? So I probably think a little bit black and white sometimes, but I'm really, really precious over who I let into my circle. Like, I will tell my story, but who I let in is a very different story. So it's just, I think that journey itself started me on this enormous life journey to where I am now. I can't believe it's 20 years ago. Oh my God.
And then you had children, so you have, how old are your children now?
I have a 5-year-old tomorrow.
Okay.
5-year-old tomorrow and a 3.5-year-old. So a 5-year-old boy and a 3.5-year-old little girl.
Okay, brilliant.
My little boy was a very big surprise. Very, very
Nice.
big. Very traumatic time, but also very loving, like just full of love in my body. The relationship with their dad is, it's up and down. He has his own issues, but you know, it was a lot for me to navigate. And for some reason, I ended up having a second child with him. But they are incredible. So again, it's almost like this duality. I have these unbelievable kids, and then you've got to deal with that. And look, I'm sure everyone has been through their fair share of that, but it makes everything hard. And I think, look, the perfect example of that, and this relates probably more to business, is last he had an affair, and a lot of stuff came out, and honestly, it floored me. Now, I mean, I could not get up out of bed. I couldn't eat. I literally couldn't do anything. And so my business, which had been doing incredibly well, like I was having 30K cash days just from my coaching business, which was, I was like, that's a third of my salary. Like, this is crazy. Not, it was probably more than a third actually. And literally what felt like overnight, that disappeared because of how I reacted to that situation. And so for 12 months, I did not do a thing. And I got no help. I was dwindling away money like there was no tomorrow. I still had bills for the business. And even like literally, I wouldn't say it is in the last month that things have started coming around again. And that's it. I had to go to St. Vincent de Paul because it got that bad. I was mortified, but also the most humbling experience I've ever been through. Like I literally just raised 800 euro for them there at Christmas. And I was like, to be able to do that now is unreal. But at the time, I would have been like, what I would give to have that money. Like just, it was so hard. And so that's why I think I'm so big on the mental health side of entrepreneurship and, you know, helping people by telling the real side of it, because there's way too many people brushing over the facts of what it takes to run a business. And then people automatically think that they're a failure. Like all of that led me to learn about the brain and why we react to things. And, you know, I was learning, why does somebody have an affair? Why do I feel like this? Why can't I just break it? You know? And then it all just led to so much more in that actually all of this connects to business as well. So the mental capacity it takes to keep going in a business when nothing is working is enormous. And I think that journey that I've been on, all those experiences, that has kept me going here today. Like I could easily have given up that business last year and just said, oh, look, it's not doing anything, goodbye. But no, I've come back and there's now seven businesses. So it's
Brilliant.
kind of full
Brilliant.
circle in a way.
You know, it's interesting because I was listening. So one of the podcast episodes that I did early on in this series was with Damien Brown, who rode solo across the Atlantic. And you know, it's such a physically arduous task, if you can imagine rowing 112 days in a rowboat across the ocean. But he was saying that the mental part of it was far, far greater than any physical endurance that he had to go through. And you know, I think that it's so relevant to being a parent, to being in business, that sometimes, you know, I was watching Call the Midwife last night, and you know, the nurse said the mark of a mother who is someone who stays when all they want to do is run, when every cell in their being is telling them to run, you know. And Damien Brown was kind of saying that yesterday as well, that his, you know, every cell in his being was telling him to sleep when he hadn't slept in 3 days, but he couldn't. Like, he had to keep rowing, he had to keep going. And I think that's just such a good kind of metaphor for that, is, you know, keep rowing, keep swimming, keep going in the direction, and fight through it, and you will get to land. You know, you will get to that place that you want to go, or you will die. I mean, let's not forget that. Keeping it real, there are people who also, you know, don't make it. But I think, I suppose, it's important to take lessons from that and to learn
Oh,
from
it
that.
is.
And I think you know, it sounds very much like you went through an enormous amount of endurance, but that there's lessons that you probably learned along the way and that you can bring forward. And what kind of lessons might you, if you were to give me maybe your top three lessons from those experiences that you've been able to take forward into what you're doing now, what would they be?
If I'm honest, there's probably one.
Okay.
And the reason I say there's one is because when we talk about people not making it, that was very close to being me. Like, I would say, I'm going to say, if I can, I'm trying to think, I think June last year was the worst that month that I was at. God, I don't want to start crying. It brings me back so much. But I think the only thing is that there is always a way out. And it, like, that really can be the be all and end all of everything. If you can believe that there's a way out, everything else can come with it. And my mantra for last year came, you know, you're getting all the threatening letters, all the emails, you know, we're going to take this, we're going to take your car. Like, I can't give you what I don't have. And so even in business, I can't give you what I don't have. And so there was a few months where it's like, oh my God, like, I can't pay this. I just can't. So I'm going to have to figure something out, whether it's a return, you know, I'll create a website for you. You know, there was a lot of that, but I just had to keep believing that there is always a way out, because, like, I'm obsessed with my kids. I adore them. Like, they are incredible little kids. I have no doubt that they are going to pave their own way in the world. But in that moment, I rang my mom and I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't be here. I can't do this. And it was just, I think it probably came more from the fact that I couldn't actually, I felt like I couldn't actually look after my kids. How am I going to get the food on the table? How am I going to do this? I tried to get a job and I actually mentally couldn't do it. You know, physically, I actually could not even send an email for my business. So that is the biggest lesson. There is always a way out. There's always a way. No matter how many things you think are going to get in the way, there is a way out. And it's going to take some people longer. It took me 12, 13 months to get out of it. But every single day. And I guess the second thing would be, look, ask for help. You know, my ego got in the way for a long time. And like, I should have been demanding maintenance, you know, like, in a way. I should have gone to St. Vincent de Paul sooner, but my ego was in the way. And once I got over that, and once I took that humble step, things started shifting a little bit. And it can just be day by day. And it's the same in business. You can be doing the same thing over and over again, and nothing is working. You're seeing everyone else doing so well. Well, social media tells us, you know, I mean, you start comparing your content or your offers or your income, and it can just play havoc with our minds. So those two things, and then for the business side, get to grips with your own emotional and mental health, that you don't let anything in. I describe to my clients, you know, get a bubble around your mind, so that, or around your body, you know, build a fortress around your mind so that no one and nothing can infiltrate what your ideas are. You keep going, you keep moving. Yes, something mightn't work, but that's what business is. It's a giant experiment to see what's going to work for you. That gets me excited. But it's only in the last 4 weeks that I've been excited about business again.
Wow.
I was doing small things, but it's only maybe 5 weeks and that I've got started again. And it feels like the longest journey ever, but it also feels like it was only yesterday that happened. And I'm still terrified of losing money. So I have a lot of money work to do. I have a lot of money mindset work to do around that. But a lot of good lessons that even now I've been able to help clients with, you know, they're fresh.
And have you did you train as a coach or?
So no, I actually, so I'm self-trained in terms of business. I could do the business stuff in my sleep. But I'm actually going back. Sorry, I did NLP coaching, but it was just a basic one, because, again, I just wanted to understand more. So I actually want to go back and do psychology.
Okay. Well, I teach coaching as well,
I
Susie.
saw that. Yes.
Mindstream, our
Yes.
certificate course is
And
coming
it's
up
just
in
launched
April, so
again.
yeah, exactly. And I teach NLP on the course for the diploma as well. So maybe we can have a chat about that to get
Yes,
you on board. Because I do think it's important that the coaches are qualified as coaches. You know, it's such an unregulated industry, and I think we need to protect the clientele and stuff like that. So for me, it's important that if people are describing themselves as a coach, that that those skills kind of come with it, you know.
Well, I would consider myself now a business coach. So, you know, business, in terms of business coaching, it's so different. You know, I kind of consider myself coach, consultant, advisor. And so there's different ways that you do. But really, like in terms of life coaching, though, and, you know, wellness coaching or any of that, like they deal with such intimacy with the other human being.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I teach coaching, and coaching is, I teach coaching, right? So it's a life and workplace coaching course, but the basic fundamentals of any coaching that anyone does comes from the life coaching, in the sense of it's the skills that you learn, the questioning skills, the listening skills, the goal planning, the belief systems, the NLP, you know, the cognitive distortions, all of those things. And then from that, you can really niche off and become a mindset coach or a menstrual coach or a business coach or an entrepreneur coach or whatever. Yeah, exactly. There's so many. And I think, you know, there is a huge, like you said, it's a bit of a wild west out there at the moment. But certainly, you know, there's no shortage of, I think, demand for people looking for coaches that can help them in any number of
and
ways.
Especially nowadays, though, people are so much more aware that getting help from a coach, like co-parenting coaching, or you know, there's a coach for everything.
Divorce coaching, you know, there's,
which is amazing.
It is, it is, it is, it is menopause coaching, you know. And I think, you know, teenagers, coaching for kids, I mean, there's a whole range, and people can become, you know, really niche in their areas. People are doing walking coaching, walking in nature, you know, I mean, there's a wide variety. But yeah, it all stems from those fundamental skills, I suppose. So the seven businesses that you have now, talk to us about them.
So you've got the Visionary Room, which is really, it's like that hub for entrepreneurs. So that's the kind of the masterclasses, the trainings, you know, all from startup to scaling to grow or to exiting. That's kind of the goal for that one. So it's kind of like a more higher level Boss Babe, if you've heard of that one. Just more, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just more in detail. It's more about business. It's not the fluffy stuff. It's actually the hard business. So there's like courses on finances and all that kind of thing. And then what stems from that then is the Visionary University, which is launching in a few weeks.
Right.
So I'm actually working with Enterprise Ireland on that one, which is exciting.
Brilliant.
Well, New Frontiers in Enterprise Ireland. So that's exciting. And so the growth for that, there's a huge potential for it, which is just, think about it like the Udemy or the Coursera for online entrepreneurs.
Great, brilliant.
So again, loads of courses that you can take, but the key to that is actually having an AI driven platform that will actually get you doing the right courses. So it's not that you're just doing any course. It's giving you a pathway, given your goals, given your circumstances, given the space that you're at.
Nice.
So it's going to be highly personalized, and that's the goal for that one. Then we've got the Visionary Summit, which is in November. A little bit scary that I'm doing my own summit. I mean, I've worked for so many other people, but we're aiming to start off with 250 people at that. So that'll be launching in April.
Brilliant.
Tickets will be launching for that. So multiple speakers across multiple venues. In Dublin, and
Brilliant.
You know, I'm excited for it. So that's that one. Then we
need any speakers?
We do. There's definitely, don't worry, I'll be in touch. I actually think I have you on my list, actually. But again, opening it up to what is possible. Like, that's what I would love it to be, that, you know, if you're in a 9-to-5, you can still do this. Like, you can still do something that you're passionate about. And so I think that might be the core of what that first event is about. And then I have just launched the Influencers Course Creator Agency. So we all know that how much it takes to build a business online and generate that trust and authority. But influencers have that. I mean, they have it in books. We see it. Rosie Connolly, like she's just off the top of my head. Like Jordan, they've all launched their own kind of product brands on the back of it. But what they don't realize is that people actually really want to learn from them in a different way. And so just as much as you'd want a makeup course from Paula Callan, you could get a course from your favorite influencer, whether it's on Rosie's way of building an influencer business and then building it into a brand, like a product brand, like people would pay for that course. And so we're really targeting influencers, obviously, name of the business, but to help them actually build their own course. And so we'll look after all of it, because it's, look, we all know it's not easy to actually set it up. But it just means that they have an extra revenue income. All it takes is to get it recorded, and we'll help them get it set up and everything. But the feedback we've had so far, it's funny, most people have said, God, I don't think people will buy that from me. And then when we talk about it, they're like, oh wait, actually, I've been asked that so many times.
Yeah.
There's a confidence thing there from these influencers, which is incredible to see. But when I talk to them, like, honestly, like, you put that out there and you talk about it, you'll sell it.
Yeah.
Because you have that audience.
Yeah.
So that's an exciting one. That's really exciting. It's literally just launched. And then I have a digital, a platform, a course platform, brand experience platform called Digital Gold. And so it's like emails, social media planning, a CRM, course platform, membership platform. It has everything. It's literally an all-in-one brand experience.
Amazing.
And so that's growing at the moment as well. Growing pains, mind you, but it's exciting to have that tech piece, or that SaaS yeah. product.
Wow.
One, which I can't remember. My personal brand, maybe, actually, that's the last one. And so I'm growing that more so from the coaching perspective. So that's my personal coaching brand, in a way, and where I would do most of my private coaching.
Okay. And would you, I mean, they all sound incredible, and they all sound like incredible businesses, and, you know, really viable, and things that you're really passionate about. I'm just conscious, as a coach, I'm conscious of the burnout, and I'm conscious of the experience that you had. I mean, you know, what do you think is driving you to do seven and not just two or four, or, you know, what, where's that coming from?
Oh, I forgot. I'm starting in college. Like that's the big one. That's what the last one, I was like, how did I forget this? Yeah, I'm starting in college. I've had the opportunity to acquire a part of something.
Right.
And I can't talk too much about it, but between all the jigs and the reels, I'm setting up a new entity first.
Right.
And so that's going to be, there was a college, pretty sure it's Carlo, that started an influencer course.
Oh yeah.
When I went to look at the syllabus, I was like, there's absolutely no one who's going to be an influencer after that course. Like, I don't mean to say, like, that's not anything against the college, but it's obvious that someone created that course who has not a breeze about what it takes to be an influencer. That is the first course. I don't know if you put that in the podcast, but the first course is going to be a digital influencer or a digital creator course for right. those maybe in sixth year, or, you know, who don't want to go the traditional route, because like, even my kid said, hey, I want to be a YouTube star.
Yeah, yeah, they all do. Yeah,
you can do
absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
And it's just the guidance on that. So it's going to be called the Dawson College. Watch this space. I'm just looking at premises now and getting that going. So by September, it should be ready to go.
Wow.
So yeah, that's the big one. But the reason I do it, have you heard of human design?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a projector, a 4-6 projector, which basically, I am the visionary. I am the person who just sees so far beyond everything. But I also can't stick to one thing. It's just not who I am. I'm just waiting for an official diagnosis, but I'm pretty sure I have ADHD as well.
Right.
So it feeds into all of these different passions that I have. Mm. But the way I manage it, and again, I've learned from that burnout, I listen to my body. Like this morning, there was no way I was going to get anything done. I was like, no, you're taking it slow. I got back into bed when I dropped the kids. I listened to a podcast, had a shower, got myself ready, had some breakfast. I can know when my body needs rest.
Okay.
I know when I can't do anything, and I know I can't do it all on my own. I think that's the most important thing. I would not be able to do this if I didn't have help. I've just hired two of the most incredible junior marketing executives. And so they're going to help me build the brands across them all. But here's what I say: if Gary Vee can run 130 companies with his team of, what, he has 50 on his team in some areas, I think, or maybe it's 70, he said, I can do this kind of way.
Yeah.
Some of them are at the early stages, like the Visionary University. That's a lot of back end work. But a lot of it overlaps as well. A lot of it is already kind of there and in place. The college stuff is hard, don't get me wrong, because that's the in-person, that's the bricks and mortar. There's a lot more in that. Whereas you start a business online, it's all about relationships and getting to know people. So if there's anyone who can know how to balance it all, that's me. Now, don't get me wrong, there's times when I have the mum guilt and I'm like, I really should be spending more time with them. But then on the other side, I'm like, okay, they're small. And if I do this now, then when they're older, I'm going to get to spend way more time with them. So yeah, that's the juggling act more so than the actual work itself in doing these businesses.
And I mean, you know, like it's amazing and it's fantastic to be so entrepreneurial. I had 11 streams of income at one point. I think I'm probably down to about 7 streams of income now. But like that, you know, people will always sort of say to me, you know, God, like, what are you doing? You're doing so many different things. You're doing this and that, like, what are you focused on? You know? And I'm like, well, I'm focused on making money, doing the things
yes, that
I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm focused on, you know? And I think it is hard because, you know, being a multi-hyphenate, being an entrepreneur with many different strings to your bow, a Renaissance woman or whatever you want to call it, it's hard for people to understand because we've been so kind of brainwashed into this idea that there's just sort of one way of being and this, you know, go to college, you know, graduate, get a job. And, you know, a lot of people previously, if, you know, it's only, I suppose, in the last 10, 15 years, this has changed, but people were getting into those good pensionable jobs and staying in that same job for years and years and years. And now, you know, I know personally for me, with the people that are coming to me for coaching, people are changing careers and changing, not only changing jobs, but changing careers and changing their path. And, you know, you can have 5-6 different careers in your lifetime if that's what you want to do. It's all, and as you say, it's all just one big giant experiment. When I started working for myself, I was doing everything from selling hampers to whiskey to launched my own recruitment company and was doing my coaching and was teaching and was lecturing and was doing dog walking, making money off that, you know, loads of different things. And it's amazing how I know I need to check my privilege here, but I do think it is amazing how kind of easy it is to make money because there will always be someone wanting to buy whatever it is that you have to sell. And I always remember one of my students one time saying to me, you know, she said, if ever you're stuck for a bit of money and you want to kind of make money to go on a holiday or something like that, she said, go around to your local shops, the little corner shops, and put a sign in the window for oven cleaning. €6 a pot. And she said, I guarantee you'd have €1,000 saved up within a couple of weeks because nobody wants to clean their own oven. And she said, all you do is you get a pair of marigolds and you get oven cleaner and you squirt it in and you sit back, you have a cup of tea, you wipe all out all the dirt, £60 in your pocket, off you go. And I was just like, brilliant.
That's genius.
But I think that sort of says, you know, shows the point that, like, you know, there is always ways if we are willing to, you know, put our sleeves up and, you know, work a bit hard. But also, I do want to get away from this idea of, like, in order to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to work really, really hard and you have to work all. Like, I choose not to work really, really hard. I could definitely be earning more money than I'm currently earning. I could have more money in the bank. But I choose not to because that's not what my measurement of success is anymore. My measurement of success is freedom and flexibility and doing things that I enjoy and helping other people. And, you know, that's often even something that I have to battle with in my own brain because I'm thinking I should be, you know, it is. It's it's a societal thing that thinks that we should all be driven by money or we should all be driven by monetary reward. And actually, that's not what makes me happy. And I know that. But equally, having no money.
Well, so there is. And it's
a fine balance.
Because and this is what I was studying the NLP and studying about the brain. It was, you know, we are driven by money. Like there is a need there as a human being. But what happens is, and I think this is the problem with the online coaching industry right now, is that people are buying into things based on money claims and money wins. But actually, when they get in there, they realize it's not actually about the money. Mm-hmm. I actually just want to be able to wake up in the morning. I want to be able to pay my bills. I want to be able to go on holidays. You know, I want to live a comfortable life. I don't need millions.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a huge thing that people struggle to actually accept, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm an entrepreneur, should I not want millions? Well, no, you don't.
Yeah. No. Like, and that's the thing. I always on my website, I have a quote that I wrote when I was at an event. And I remember being at this event, the Start Summit, the Jamie White used to put on. And And there was two speakers at that event. One came out and said, everybody here should aim for world domination. You should that's and I wrote down, don't aim for world domination, but aim to dominate your own little world. And I think that's like, because in my experience, the people who've aimed for world domination were like Hitler and Stalin and Putin, and it didn't really go so well for them. So I think, aiming to dominate your own world and doing what you can control in the controllables. But also at that same summit, another guest speaker came out and said, hands up who wants to be a millionaire? And all these people put up their hand. And I didn't. And I wrote down, you can't want to be a millionaire. You have to want to make good product, do a good job, be passionate about what you do. And if you make money as a consequence of that and become a millionaire as a consequence of that, then that's great. But wanting to be a millionaire will never make you a millionaire,
Can't be the driver either because you'd be miserable.
Yeah,
Like you wouldn't.
exactly. Exactly. So I think there are some really important lessons for me on my journey, but also in terms of like working with other people and helping them to kind of identify where what their goals are and where their values lie. And some people's goal is £1 million, and some people's goal is that money, and that's fine, and we can put them on a path to that. But the £1 million will come with a huge amount of sacrifice, right? It will
When
come
you
with.
say sacrifice, people are like, "What?" But no, I don't have to. I'm like, "Yes, you do actually. Like, there is a sacrifice that comes with that."
Yeah, there are sacrifices that come with any goal achievement, I suppose, in one way or another, but yeah, so it's lovely and refreshing to hear you talk about these different businesses and for that to be normal, because it's normal for me and it's normal for you, and
It's fun.
yeah, it
If
is.
that's not fun for like my brother, he's like, I could not handle the risk. I couldn't cope with it. Some people just don't enjoy it. Whereas for me, and I think that's why I love doing the business coaching, is because I almost get to start new businesses every day with people that I talk with, or I'm getting involved and like I'm heavily involved in the growth side and the actual back end things because I love doing that. But it's just something that I thrive on. Like one of my friends who's in this a similar industry, she's like, but you can't do all that, I'm like, but I can be on my own, but I can get help and I can do it. So being in new frontiers, being around people who like similar things or who are doing similar things, it makes such a difference. And I think that's in anything. Like as a soul, like I went to a nice secondary school. I was very lucky and most of the people in there are still with their husbands and 2.4 kids, the kind of way. And here's me going through this, like choosing the completely wrong person. And but again, I met that person based on where I was at. And so, everything, I do believe everything is meant to happen the way it does. But there is a certain amount of, oh God, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and this wasn't what I thought it would be. But that's where you have to reframe everything in your mind because my subconscious is telling me that because that's what I've learned over my 39 years on this planet. And it doesn't have to be like that. So being around other single moms, being around other entrepreneurs who love being in business and love starting businesses, like I love that. If I'm around people who are just like, oh no, just one business, one offer, one person, I'm like, nah, I'm out. I'm too bored. I'm just like, there's no way. I'd rather have a job and run these businesses to keep me excited than just do one thing. So I think who you're surrounded by as well can play such a huge part in the solo journey, where, like you said, whether it is business or choosing to be single or whatever it is, you're solo traveling, even though you're solo traveling, you're still going to be around like-minded people because there's other solo traveling.
Exactly,
So I do think
exactly.
that circle of people that you end up with will play a huge part in where your future moves to.
Yeah. And that's why I'm sort of, I've been talking a lot about the word solo and why I refer to myself as a solo versus a single, or, even the term single mom, like there are such connotations that kind of come along with that. And actually, I think that being a solo parent, choosing to be solo versus single, it is not, attaching your value to a status, to your marital status or your relationship status. It's basically identifying you as an individual and as an individual person that has choices about what they're going to do when it comes to being in a relationship or how they choose to parent or being a solopreneur, and not choosing to, as you say, go down that traditional route, which again, suits many, many people perfectly well. And there are many people who would absolutely balk at the idea of setting up seven different businesses and universities and think you're crazy. And that's okay because the world is big enough for all of us. And there's a world big enough for all of the choices that we all are able to make in terms of how we choose to live our lives. And I think that's why coaching, to kind of segue back to that, is such a great business and such a flourishing, industry, in the sense that there are so many people who are looking at how they want to live their lives. I mean, I think if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and everything, sort of the ultimate pinnacle of that is that, that idea of like pure wellness, that idea of like this kind of ultimate understanding of who you are as a person is right at that top level. And I think that's where we really are as a world, as a species, is we're all trying to get to that enlightenment, that peak enlightenment, where most of our needs are satisfied, most of us have food, shelter, water, most of us have, understood where our skills lie. But actually, kind of that enlightenment phase is what we're all now striving for. And I think that's where coaches can come right in and help out.
A lot of, because I would get a lot of coaches coming to me obviously as well, or people just out of their getting their certificates and don't really know how to get the business side of it going. And a lot of it, they're like, but why would somebody hire me? I don't know if I can do this. There's too many coaches out there. Actually, the coaching industry is really only getting started. It's still a baby industry.
And
So
that's what I say to people. I said there's a doctor on every corner, there's a dentist on every
yes.
corner, there's a mechanic on every corner. I mean,
There's a
no,
makeup artist
and
everywhere.
try and get into your doctor local. It's very difficult. So there are needs for people all over the world. And in Ireland, it's still relatively new. But even though Mindstream, the company that I own, where I teach coaching, has been around for 20 years, and I recently took that over. But so Sean Farrell was a pioneer in that regard in terms of it bringing it over. But I mean, in America and on the continent, Australia, like
It's everywhere.
it's huge business in those countries, So I don't think the word self-development or personal development is a cringy word or a dirty word. I actually think people who think that it is need to check in with themselves and kind of look at how they feel about themselves as a person, because personal development is so important. It's so important
It's a
for
requirement
life.
for jobs, like. There's a much heavier emphasis on personal development, personal branding, so much more. And I guess as you go down that route, you do have to do more personal development.
But personal development is just basically being alive. I mean,
Be aware. That's a word that I keep coming back to. Like, be aware of who
the
you
awareness.
are and how you react. And, like, again, if you're hanging around with people that you don't like, walk away. Like, these little things, that awareness is so big that there is still a large amount of people who just don't have it.
No, I know. I know. And I remember I was coaching a guy recently who was talking about how he doesn't really feel he said that he was very quiet, that he was a quiet guy. And I said, okay, well, where's the evidence for that? And he said, well, when I'm out with my friends, and I'm in the pub, like they're all talking about GAA and they're talking about football, and I don't really like talking about that stuff. So I kind of just sort of sit in the corner and I don't really say anything. So, but I'm like, well, do you like GAA in football? And he was like, no. I was like, well, then maybe you're not quiet. You're just with the wrong group. Maybe actually, if you were with a different group who were talking about things that you do enjoy, you'd be the loudest in the room because you were talking about the things that bring you happiness. And he was really like, huh.
That's the light bulb moment. It's like, oh, wait a second. It's so simple. Why didn't I think of that?
But
But we
again, people just
don't.
get these labels attached to them. And they either live up to that label or they don't know that it's a label that they can remove, And so, but like that, I mean, even something as simple as that's coaching, and that can actually have a really profound effect on someone,
And
actually
one
to.
session with a coach can be mind-blowing.
Exactly,
Like,
exactly.
I went to a therapist after my first baby, and like it didn't click with me at all. I went to a coach and my world opened. So it can be, I'm not saying it's an alternative, but different types of sessions can bring huge change for someone. So I guess that was a huge thing for me, because I thought the only way to go to help me with my mental health was a psychologist, but actually just becoming more aware of myself and learning different techniques to actually, you know, deal with the emotions or deal with circumstances became huge for me. Also knowing what I actually wanted and what my values were and, you know, what I wouldn't stand for anymore, even in business, that relates. So even that's why coaching to me is just, coaching changed my life. Like, but bar anything else, it was coaching.
Me too. Susie, thank you so much. You've been so honest. You've shared so much with us about your own personal journey and also your kind of your business journey. It sounds like there is a lot of exciting things kind of coming down the line. And I certainly, for one, will be watching this space. And I think a lot of the businesses that you've talked about there are, you know, ripe for success and for, you know, yeah, absolutely. Ripe for huge success. But I don't want to wish huge success on you either, because I don't want you to burn out and I don't want you to kind of get, I want you to have
steady.
A nice moderate level of success doing the things that you love to do and make you happy. Where can people find you if they want to?
So mainly on Instagram right now, just go to the Visionary Room, at the Visionary Room. All the links are there. And we'll be starting a new TikTok soon, actually. Not that I want to, but no, everything is on Instagram or the website, thevisionaryroom.com. But yeah, everything links from there. So,
okay.
Or just reach out. Any questions, anyone can reach out. But thank you so much for having me on. It's been amazing. I could have talked for hours. I'm sorry.
No, thank you so much. We've talked for a whole hour already. But but thank you so much. And yeah, we'll have to get you back on maybe next year when all of these businesses are up and running and you can update us on how it
summit.
Is. Yeah, exactly. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.